Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I consider it such a privilege to be in God's house, and particularly such a privilege to preach the gospel to God's people. I've said it often. I've said it in Canada probably a couple of times. But all of my heroes, they're not even in pulpits. All of my heroes are in pews. The people that come to God's house. You know, and I get around pastors sometimes that are negative, and I get away from them as quickly as I can, and they're always whining. They're whining because they can't get enough people to come to church. They're whining because they got people to come to church that don't tithe. And I just hear it over and over again. But friend, my exceptional attitude is that I'm amazed by the saints of the living God. Do you understand that there are hundreds of people that come to Living Way Church every week and give 10, 15, 20% of their income, get up 5 o'clock in the morning to make that money and then bring it to God's house? If you think these people are not heroes, you don't understand the way God looks at people. And I celebrate every one of them, every one of you. Some pastors look at those that don't. I look at those that do. And you are amazing. You are amazing people. I love you. I love to be in the midst of God's people. Let's turn to the Word of the Lord. Pastor Brandon and Sister Mandy are in California, and they will be back Friday. That's 2 days from today. I'll be glad to have them back. You know, some people just don't quite get it. I wear a suit every time I preach because I like suits. I have no problem with people preaching in blue jeans. I thank God for everything that we can bring into this church that is youth-oriented, because I know churches where their pastors wear suits just like I do, and they got 25 people left. They just refuse. They wouldn't have a screen. They wouldn't have a light. They wouldn't have fog. They wouldn't change nothing. And they're just going to get smaller and smaller. I want everything to come together. I want young, old, black, white, rich, poor. Everybody deserves to be in God's house and to know the joy of the Lord that I know. And so I praise God for Pastor Brandon and Sister Mandy. And not only that, I praise God for Brother Tyler and Sister Jane. They are amazing to me, just amazing to me what they're doing. And we are doing good, but we're going to do better. This thing is going to explode. Because the world is going to force it to, because this world doesn't have any answers. And we do have an answer. And praise God, this thing might be a little bit under the bushel now, but we're going to take the bushel off, and all of San Antonio is going to know the joy of Jesus and what it means to be a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-speaking Christian that is victorious and overcoming in Jesus' name. Ephesians 1:15. Ephesians Chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. You may be seated. Famous for your faith. That's what I want to talk to you about. Famous for your faith. He said, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. In order to understand the text, you understand the context a little bit. This was not written after the Apostle Paul had been hailed as the greatest preacher in the universe. This was not when he just had been selected to be the pastor of a great congregation. This is not when he had just been elected to something. This is not when he had just got to be president or when he had been selected as a pope. The Apostle Paul wrote the exciting book of Ephesians, and it is one of the most encouraging books in the Bible. He wrote it from a jail cell, as he did three other of the epistles. All of this comes from a jail cell to a man that was incarcerated and liberated all at the same time. He had the joy of the Lord, and so he said, it's come to me. I'm not there to see you because I'm in jail, but it's come to me that you are people of faith, and I've heard of your faith. What can be said greater for anybody than is, I heard of your faith? I don't want to be famously known as an orator. I don't want to be famously known as rich. I don't want to be famously known as anything except famous for my faith. Everybody is known for something in your circle and your sphere of influence. My desire for fame would be contained only to be known in three worlds that this is a man of faith. I want heaven to know I have faith. I want earth to know I have faith. I want hell to know I have faith. I told you when I was preaching in Jamaica, I left my hotel by myself and wandered into the worst part of that city of Kingston. And there I was, before I knew it, I was surrounded by people that were demon-possessed, alcoholics, drug addicts. They were laid out everywhere. And believe me, I was the only one that had a suit on in that crowd. And finally, one guy came totally out of a stupor, stood up, pointed his finger at me, and said, I know you. You're Steve Fender from San Antonio, and you are a Christian, and laid right back in his stupor. It was exciting to me because at that time, I knew that hell knew who I was. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never fulfill God's call on your life until your faith is known in three worlds. Faith is an amazing thing. Your faith on earth moves men. Your faith in heaven touches God and releases angels. And your faith in hell binds demons. Your faith should be famous. You should be famous for your faith. You might not be known for your faith around the world. Everybody's not a Billy Graham or a T.D. Jakes. But you've got a sphere of influence. You've got family and friends, peers, co-workers, people you went to school with, people in the neighborhood that know you. And the one thing that they ought to know about you is that you are a woman or man of faith. Your faith ought to be famous. It was said of the disciples, these that have turned the world upside down have come here. You ought to be able to turn the world upside down. When I meet with bankers, when I meet with lawyers, when I meet with business people, I have an effect on them. Not two city blocks, a block, less than a block from where we are sitting and standing right now, used to live the vilest man I ever met. His language was so filthy, it was intolerable even to those that swear. He was an evil, mean man. And everywhere I would see him, and I saw him quite often, he would make it his business sit beside me so he could be vile and so he could talk against Christianity and so he could make fun of me. I heard him call a woman the worst names possible on the face of this earth. He was a terrible person. I was in Luling, Texas at a horse sale, and he came up to me just like he always would. He always came to me, and I thought it was going to be another thing. He said, can I see you out behind the barn? I had no what he wanted. He was a violent man, and we stepped behind that barn, and that violent man said, Steve, I know I've given you a rough time, but I've always had so much respect for you. I'm dying of cancer. Can you and I pray right now? We prayed as he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and within 60 days, he was in eternity. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there are some people that hold you in great esteem. It's not because you're the best-looking person in the family. It's because they respect what's happened in you. You've been born again. You've become a person of faith, and your faith is intact, and your faith is impactful. That's the kind of faith that I want, the faith that is based on revelation. I know something that normal people simply do not know. I've got a lady that lives in Austin, Texas, and if she has any crisis in her life, she's never stepped foot in this church, she's never been here, she's never written me a check, never gave this church a dime, but I have a tremendous connection with her because every time she has a trouble in her life, she calls me on the phone or texts me. Recently, her little niece was attacked by a dog. It just destroyed the little baby's face. And she said, Pastor, is there any way I can bring the niece? She didn't come to church. She came during the day and sat on the couch with that little baby. And a little girl, she's not a baby, she's about 6 years old. And I prayed for her. Amazing things happen. And she shows me pictures of it every day. And she reminds me, it's your prayers and your faith. It's not bad to have people to want to look at your faith and celebrate you. It's the greatest thing that you can do in life, that people would turn to you in their time of trial and the time of crisis. When Sister Wanda Phillips died last year, one of the most amazing Christians I've ever known, she always called me when she had a problem. She always called me when she was sick. I would drive to Austin for no other purpose but to pray for her. And she'd say, when you pray, I always get well. Her son came to me, Randy Phillips, that's well known for his music, came to me, and he said, "You were my wife, my mother's counselor, weren't you?" I said, "I didn't know you knew that, Randy." He said, "Oh, I always knew that." There should be people in your life that look to no one but you. They should regard you as such a person of faith that they love to be about your presence. They love for you to touch them and pray for them because your faith is famous with them. Friend, if you are going to have that kind of faith, you have to have it because you have real revelation in your life. Number one, Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I don't care if your mother and daddy were never married. I don't care if your daddy never saw your mother again. You are not an accident. You are chosen in him, made in his image. And you are not only to be celebrated by God and the angels, but you need to celebrate yourself as a person of faith. I know who I am, and I know that the Lord wonderfully made me in his image. And because of that, I've got faith that when I pray, God hears. When I pray, God's hand moves because God honors faith. And I have got faith in God. I've got faith in my creation. I've got faith that I was created for a purpose, and I am not an accident. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter how much money or how little money you have. It doesn't matter where you came from. You are something special in God. And when you can get up in the morning and say, "I am a magnificent creation of God, created in his image, not an accident, but a purposeful creation, and God will be with me today. He'll send his angels all around me. He will order my steps. He'll put the right people in my life." What are the right people? There's two people that God wants to put in your life every day. People that can help you and people you can help. And I believe that it flows both ways. I give to people that have a lot more money than I do. I give people to people that have no money at all. I give to people that have about the same amount. I want my faith to flow up, down, and sideways. I want it to touch people until they realize that just coming in my presence changed their life. I heard one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard preached by a wonderful lady, and she preached on, "He changed my life." She preached for 30 minutes and turned the house upside down, and people got the Holy Ghost. The only thing, we all misunderstood the sermon. She wasn't talking about Jesus. She was talking about her husband, how when she married him, he was so in tune with God, he changed her life. That's what every spouse ought to be able to say about their spouse. "She changed my life. He changed my life." What every child ought to be able to say about their parents, and what every parent ought to be able to say about their child, "They changed my life," because they are wrought with faith. They're eaten up with faith. Faith is just a wonderful gift. But it's a gift that grows with use. Every day you ought to get up and say, "God, you got a purpose for my life. I don't have to be world famous. I just have to be famous in my faith." Somebody today is going to know that I'm a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled believer that can bind devils and release angels. I can change people's destiny. I can touch people's lives. And number two, my faith is what it is because I know that I have been redeemed. "In whom we have redemption through his blood," Paul would write to the church in Ephesus from prison, "through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, in whom we have redemption." I get up every day full of faith because I realize today's lesson and today's ascension and today's purpose and today's accumulation and today's accommodation is not going to be decided by yesterday, because any failure I had yesterday is not going to affect my day today, because I have been redeemed not by yesterday's performance. I have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered the text in the book of Job that where God said to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job? He is all perfect. He is altogether perfect." Have you ever considered that text and then just went through the book of Job and counted his mistakes? I've done that. I said Job wouldn't qualify to be an usher at Living Way. he had so many mistakes, and God called him perfect. That tells me that once you realize that you're Creator, that you're not an accident, that you're created in the image of God, and you are redeemed, that God never looks at you the same again. Every time God looks at you, he looks through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and it changes you dramatically. When we dress down, when we still got that morning beard on, when we still got ragged clothes, when we've still got uncombed hair. I went out today to meet with Rudy. Rudy works for us. He's one of my favorite people. I love Rudy. He's our mechanical guy. He's a Catholic. And I'm just going to pray through Rudy one of these days by surprise. I'm just going to lay hands on him one day before he knows what happened to him. But he's a wonderful guy, a blessing in my life. He texts me first thing, "Happy birthday, Pastor." Then when I say, "Happy birthday," what a great guy he is. But today I wanted to see him a little earlier before I had a chance to take a shower. My hair was standing on end. I hadn't shaved yet. I didn't have on suit. I didn't have no shoes on. I had to go outside and talk to him. I went out in the parking lot, and I was afraid somebody's going to see me. I knew Rudy would accept me because he knows me, but I thought somebody else is going to. Well, that's just the way I looked, but it wasn't good. Friend, you are not at your best until you recognize that Christ sees you adorned in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the way he sees you every day. He does not see you in the throes of your failure. He does not see you in the accumulation of your mistake. He does not see you at the epitome of your sin. He sees you how? According to the riches of his grace, the forgiveness of sin, and through his blood, he calls you redeemed. Redeemed. God calls you redeemed. I don't know what your husband said about you today or what your wife said about you. I don't know what you said about yourself. I see people all the time that say, "I'm so stupid." I'm not going to say that. "Oh, I'm so stupid." I don't get up and say, "Oh, you're getting older and uglier." My friend Lawrence Bishop said, "I don't want to get old and ugly." He's a good-looking man. He died at 69. I'm not making that confession, Lawrence. I know you're in heaven looking down on me. I said, "Lord, I want to get older and better looking every day. I'm going to make good confessions." I don't know what people have said about you, but I can tell you what God has told the devil about you today. He said, "Have you considered my servant? Have you considered my servant Tammy? Have you considered my servant Tyler? He is perfect." And the devil just makes him so mad. But God brags on you. If God brags on you, you ought to get up every day and say, "I want my faith to be famous because I am not like the world. I am redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord. I am somebody. Watch me celebrate who I am in Christ Jesus." Number three, our faith ought to be famous because we know the mystery of his will. I'm always amazed when I watch television and they're interviewing people that I think are famous. They're actors, they're singers, they're business people, they're people that have accumulated billions of dollars, and they'll talk and they'll talk and they'll talk. Somewhere in that congregation, if it goes for any endurance of time, they'll say, "I just want to know the purpose for my life." Hey, buddy, you're 60 years old and you still don't know the purpose for your life? When are you going to find it out? You've got a college degree and $1 billion in the bank and you still don't know the purpose of your life? Friend, if you get saved and you realize what God does, when you realize he creates you in his image, redeemed you in the image of his son, Jesus Christ, you will know the mystery of his will. "Having made known unto us," Paul writes, "unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure." God has a good pleasure for you. That good pleasure is his will for you. It is to succeed and not fail. It is to overcome and not be defeated. It is to live and not die. It is to be victorious and not be defeated in any way. I know what is the will of God. My life is very simple. I can put it down on a legal pad. Just draw a line right down the middle of that legal pad. If it's bad, it's the devil. If it's good, it's God. It took me a long time to come to that little understanding. If something bad happens to me, I don't say, "Well, God, why are you doing this to me?" I say, "Devil, I know exactly why you're doing this to me, and now I'm going to put a lump on your head in the name of Jesus Christ. Because there is a God that has shown me the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure." That gives me faith. When I pray, things happen. When I pray, people get healed. When I pray, people get saved. When I pray, people get money. When I pray, people get delivered. Why? Because I'm eaten up with faith. Hallelujah. I believe the best is good, but I believe the best is yet to come. I thank God for what He has done, but I anticipate what He is about to do. You, me, the church, all of us have not seen our best days. They're right ahead of us. My faith is high. My faith is high. The fields are white. The harvest is great. This is our greatest hour. Give God some praise in this house today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Number four, my faith is famous. It might not be world famous, but it's famous to my friends. Brent Norton, that comes occasionally here, told me the other day how much money his church had in the bank, and it was a ton. He said, Pastor Steve, when I met you, we didn't have any money. He said, you are partly responsible for that. I love that kind of talk. I want to increase you in every way. I want to increase your faith. I want to increase your health. I want to increase your money. I want to increase your relationships. I want to increase your joy. Friend, we have a purpose in this life. The Bible said we pour from vessel to vessel. Have you poured your faith into anybody? I promise you, if you give your faith away, you will not be decreased. You will be increased. It will flow like a river if you begin to give it away. Find people that will receive it. If they won't receive it, find somebody else. Just keep knocking on somebody's door with a good report. Don't be negative and discouraging. Don't side with them. Don't say, well, I know times are tough. Don't do that. Say, hey, something good is about to happen to your life. Have you trusted Jesus? Have you cast your cares on Him? Let your faith be contagious. Oh, friend, we've emptied this building because the mayor told us to of San Antonio, and the governor and the president said, empty your buildings because you are contagious. Ladies and gentlemen, the reverse is true. If we would get contagious in faith, we'll fill this building to overflow. If people just realize when they hang around you, their life gets better because your faith is famous. I used to have a man, he's gone on now, hopefully in heaven, but he was a great contractor, and he was my friend, and he wouldn't come to church. I couldn't get him to come to church only once in a while. But he'd say, Steve, every time I come to your church, my business just goes through the roof. It's just amazing what happens when I kept saying, why don't you come two or three times a week and see what happens to your business? And here he was, a Lutheran man, but when he died, just before he died, he got to calling me to come by his business place, and he'd say he was a real strong man, and he didn't like to show his emotion, and he's a big guy, but he'd say right there in front of his employees, Brother Steve, would you lay hands on me and pray for me? He was a Lutheran. He didn't learn that in a Lutheran church. My faith was contagious. And finally, he called me one day, and he said, I've got to ask you to do something for me if you'll do it. I said, what's that? He said, would you preach my funeral? I said, what about your Lutheran pastor? He said, no, I want you to preach my funeral. And when I preached that funeral, people called me from that funeral for days saying how it touched their lives. I don't care who they are. Friend, you've got something they don't have. You're highly contagious. You can change their life forever. Number four, we wholly trust the Lord. There's not a lot of people today that are leaning on the Lord. They lean on their own understanding. They lean on money. They lean on talent. They lean on politics. They lean on other things. But we wholly trust the Lord. From that prison cell, Paul would write these words, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. They tell us today that things are going to get worse and worse. I heard today that there is such a short supply of heating oil that in the Northeast, where a lot of older people live on fixed houses, fixed incomes in those old houses, and they depend on heating oil to heat those houses, that they've got just a few days supply now. By the time it gets cold, they're not going to have any heat in their homes. They're predicting hundreds of people are going to die, maybe more than that, in the Northeast from cold. I hear those reports all the time. But friend, I believe God is greater. I believe he's greater than this administration. He's greater than the next administration. He's greater than our economy. He's greater than our politician. I'm not very fearful, no matter who is in the White House, because I know who sits on the throne. I am like Job. In him I have trusted, and I will trust. Though he slay me, yet will I trust the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, God is on my side. And the way things work out for me is absolutely ridiculous. I am so blessed. I am ridiculously blessed of the Lord because I have crazy faith. I believe God's going to take care of me no matter what happens in the world, and I believe he'll take care of you. Do you really believe you're in the Father's hand? Do you really believe that God has tattooed in his palm your name? I believe God knows me in heaven. I believe God talks about me every day. If there's a God that can count the hairs on my head, he has discussions with angels about me like he did Job. He said, look at my son Steve. He is perfect in all the ways. He might not get Becky to agree with that, or Brandon, or you, but it don't matter whether you agree or not, for God himself is a majority. And God says I'm perfect. And so I've got faith that I'm going to be strong and do exploits in the last years of my life. I don't think that I was better at 40. I think I'm better at 73. I don't think I did more at 30. I think I'm going to do more at 75 because there is a God that is looking for somebody that will have famous faith and say, I believe God can do anything. I believe God can do anything. And I adjure you, like Paul said, cast not away your confidence. He is God all by himself. There ain't nobody like him. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginner and the ending. He's the starter and the quitter. He is the ark. He is the sacrifice. He is the way maker, the rose of Sharon, the bright and the morning star. He's the wine that comes down. He's the bread that comes down. He's the healer. And he's in this building right now. And I live under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. And it ought to give you so much faith that you're famous with your faith of everybody that knows you. And number five, we know the hope of his calling. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you have any idea what it means to be? I love the Catholic Church. I told somebody, their mouth was just open. They were Catholic. I said, our church, Living Way Church, and evangelical churches, and the Catholic Church share so many things. They said, really? I said, you believe in the authority of the priest. We believe in the authority of the minister. I said, you believe in the authority. We believe. You believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. There's some place that we're very divergent that we don't agree on, but there are so many things we agree on. I'm not looking for people to disagree with. I'm looking for people that I can agree on a few things, that I can build on, that we can agree on more things. And so the Catholic Church, one of their errors is that they teach that saints have to be dead. Well, if that's true, I've preached to them all over the country because I've preached to a lot of dead saints. But the truth is, when you get saved, you are called to be a saint. That's the reason all my heroes are in pews and not in pulpits. I heard a man on TV, a charismatic preacher. He said, the Lord promised me when I get to heaven, I'm going to be a teacher. Sir, I don't think I want you for a teacher, or you would know the scripture that when we get to heaven, we all have all knowledge. And if we all have all knowledge, why would there be a need for a teacher? We're not looking for pastors and priests and teachers and evangelists. Friend, those are not permanent postures. Those are not permanent offices. Those are simply temporal. And what are they? Somebody feels like, well, I'm called to preach. And I had a guy tell me, he said, I'm a pastor. I don't believe in tithing for the pastor. Pitiful, 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 pitiful. The reason why so many pastors and preachers fail is they forget that they were called to be saints. And they think there's an exemption from sainthood once they start preaching. You don't never quit being a saint. When I get to heaven, they won't ever be called me Pastor Steve there or Pastor Fender or Bishop or nothing. That won't be what I'll be a saint of the Most High God. Do you understand if you want to call yourself to preach, that you are now a servant. You're now a waiter in a restaurant. It's like the rest of us are saints, and you are just bringing things to us. That's what a preacher is. He's a server. That's what Jesus showed when he took the towel and wiped their feet, when he talked about being a servant. He was talking about if you're called to the ministry, the call to be a pastor or an apostle or a prophet, that's not the highest call in the world. The highest call in the world is to be called to be a saint of the living God. Do you understand when you got born again, you were different than everybody around the world? Now you are a saint of the Most High God. You are the people that Jesus Christ shed his blood for. You are that royal priesthood. You are that peculiar people that will show forth the praises of Almighty God. That's who you are. And friend, when you realize that you're a saint of the living God, that all of this is about you being saved. All that heaven has done is about being saved. Golgotha, Gethsemane, the cross, it's all about you being a saint of the Most High God. And so you realize that you are now the hope of his calling. When God called you, nothing else matters. I just want to be a saint of God. Before I'm a pastor, before I'm a preacher, I am a saint. That's a higher position. I step down sometime from my sainthood to serve, but most of all, I'm a saint of the living God.